so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
So we are doing a Friday podcast. And I've enlisted the help of Chuck McKenney of RedsArmy.com. Good friend, former business partner, and now occasional podcast co-host. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing well. I mean, when a pandemic hits and my friend comes calling, I'm here. I mean, that's what I am. I'm a local hero. So yeah. I'm glad I could take off my mask and my hazmat suit and do this.
we're doing this through respirators right now. At this point, like, all we can do is kind of like try to have fun with it, because obviously it's very serious. Let's get you caught up. Let's get everybody caught up if you haven't, because there's a lot going on, and I've been kind of writing stories all day long. So from the last podcast, the Celtics have left Milwaukee. They're back home in Boston. They were told, and they say through an official statement, they're basically told that Gobert and Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell also tested positive. Gobert and Mitchell were very likely not contagious at the time of them being in Boston. So no one was really exposed to anything. So, everybody seems to be okay, but now they're home. They've been told to self-quarantine for a little bit. And over the next few days, over the weekend, the plan is to get everybody tested and proceed from there. The NBA has put out the NBA held a meeting with the Board of Governors. The reports out of that are that teams have been informed that the schedule will be suspended for 30 days. And then after that, like, that's a minimum. But reportedly out of that meeting today with the Board of Governors, the owners kind of want to have an opportunity to revisit this in whatever time frame prior to 30 days, because they want to get some regular season games in. So that's sort of where we stand right now. So Chuck, what's your feeling after all of this whirlwind of, we're recording this like less than 24 hours after it happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a sense of disbelief. And, I've just been dealing with the virus fallout from all angles. Like, I'm sure a lot of people are, whether you're planning to work remotely for your job, planning there, watching your kids, youth sports activities get postponed, or wondering when they're going to be postponed. Family members who are sick, and then you find out it's only the flu, thank God. So it's everywhere, right? And then, you know, we often turn to sports and blogging and stuff to as a creative, fun outlet. And now that's swamped with Corona. So everywhere I turn, it's just coronavirus fallout. So it's just been a kind of, you know, overwhelming experience the last couple of days. So I guess for me, trying to accept that life is going to be pretty different for the next 2 to 4 weeks. For me, narrowing the focus to the Celtics, I think now you made a comment about owners maybe thinking about trying to squeeze in some regular season games. And I'm not sure that's going to happen, at least not in a public setting, right? I mean, because there was a time we considered games without fans, right? And how quickly So maybe if they were to assess the health of all their players and staff and stuff and feel like they can get a grasp of that within 3 to 4 weeks, and they want to have some games to kind of give the players something to work through before the playoffs start, I guess that's okay. But I'm thinking, you know, the seedings are set. We're going to resume basketball, and it's going to be playoff basketball, right? And that's, you know, normally that happens in mid-April, right?
Yes.
So that's a month. That's like a month away from now. So I'm thinking we go on a 30-day hiatus. We come back, and it's playoff basketball.
Yeah. I would think that that's the case. In fact, when I was talking, we're all sitting there in Indiana just kind of trying to marvel at the situation here. Because they had us in this little press conference setting, and no one knew what the hell to make of it, and we're all trying to talk through things. And actually, this is the scenario I thought would happen. Once a player tested positive, I said, that's it. Rest of the regular season is over. Just shut it down. Regroup. You've got till mid-April anyway, so this is right in line with that. Then you just start the playoffs on time. That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's unfortunate, and there are teams that are in these kind of bizarre situations, and, you know, maybe you have a half game lead on somebody, and you're missing an opportunity to kind of set your like the Orlando Magic are a half game behind the Brooklyn Nets. And maybe Orlando thinks they have a better matchup against Toronto than the Milwaukee Bucks. But as of right now, the Magic are the eighth seed, and they don't have that opportunity to make that leap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the West, you know, the Houston Rockets are the sixth seed. They're going to face Denver in the first round, or, you know, they don't have the opportunity to move, or the Dallas Mavericks don't have an opportunity. So these teams probably all want to be like, hey, in our best interest, if everybody's tested and everybody's clean, why wait the 30 days? Why can't we just go through all of this? Once Rudy's better, once Donovan's better, once everything's disinfected, we'll give everybody a period of time to kind of practice and reset the schedule. We can play however many regular season games we can play. They'll say it under the guise of, we want these guys to get back into shape so they don't hurt themselves in the playoffs, which is true. You do want guys to have that opportunity, but also they want to recoup the lost money, as much lost money as they can, because we're talking local revenue, we're talking in arena revenue, we're talking ESPN and TNT and ABC revenue. And so any amount of that money that's lost is lost. And I don't know that there's any special circumstance that's going to bring that back. They're just going to not have that money, and next year's cap is going to be impacted, and teams don't want to be stuck because of a pandemic having to cut somebody or move away from somebody that they thought they were going to re-sign.
You know, I'm still not convinced that when the playoffs roll around that they're going to be ready to open an arena and have 18,000 people there.
Oh, that's probably not going to be the case.
Right?
I would expect that we're probably not going to see NBA fans in arenas for the rest of the year, like,
or until the finals, possibly. Right? Yeah, just trying to see what other countries are experiencing now, right? But even so, even to get to that point where you have games in arenas that there aren't fans, there's still layers of employees and stuff that are needed in the media, right? So I think they need to make sure there's some type of controlled situation for all of you people on the periphery who, you know, I'm curious, I know it was in the early stages of considering games without fans, but had you heard if they would have allowed media into a select number of media into those types of games?
My understanding, just from talking to people within the Pro Basketball Writers Association, that we were going to be allowed in. And so, you know, the way it works, there's no, like, it's not an official union. Like, we're not like a unionized thing where we have a collective bargaining agreement with the NBA, but we are an association of writers that does have our vice presidents and presidents that are in direct contact with the NBA and the NBA's PR arm. So they have all been talking. And so, like, they've been talking about things like, okay, we're willing to give up locker room access for the sake of this pandemic, but this isn't a precursor to you saying you want to take away locker room access, because I don't think they like us in there. And we don't want to have this, like willingness to do the right thing turn into the, well, you didn't miss anything anyway, so you're out altogether. But, like, things like that are their part of their conversation. So what I've been told is that media would be allowed into games if in that circumstance of there were no fans. I don't know, but I also have questions because of that. Like, okay, so say it's Celtics, Sixers the way it is right now. Philadelphia has cases. Are those guys going to get on planes? Are Philly writers going to get on planes and travel to Boston?
Right.
You know, like, do we share a media room in that circumstance? If the arena's empty, do we all have to sit in that cramped media section in the corner? Or can I like grab my laptop and sit at a center court seat and kind of like have a good view, like somewhere in the middle low sections, because who cares? Nobody's sitting there anyway. And I want to have a good view of the game. Like, can there be like an auxiliary media place where I can go sit, and also where I can sit away from the people who have been traveling? Like, if they want to take their chance, and if people want to whatever, like, I don't know, like, we're not traveling anymore. And am I going to have to travel to the Philly games? Like, I don't know what these answers are. There's still a lot that's unknown.
Right. So that's, so even, you know, when the basketball kind of decision gets made, there's still all this periphery stuff that even without fans, still needs to be sorted out. And I'm not saying that they can't, but I think a lot of that depends on, you know, just how the sort of mitigation is going with, you know, and how quickly the virus is spreading. So, but, you know, my gut is that there's going to be playoff basketball. And hopefully, you know, by the time June rolls around, it'd be great to have it in front of fans. But, you know, I'm not holding out hope for that. And again, part of me thinks I'm a little naive to think we'll be able to play in 30 days when I see what's going on in these other countries where everything is shut down except for, you know, supermarkets and hospitals. But I'm hopeful. It would just be crushing to have all this entertainment, you know, just disappear.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm hopeful as well. But I think it would have to resume under certain circumstances, like like I was talking about the travel with the media. If we're really trying to avoid people getting into these confined spaces with other people, if we're trying to avoid any sort of large crowds, okay, so we go without the fans, which refs are we going to use? Are the refs just going to be refs? Like, there's normally a rotating group of refs, so you don't have like one person there for an entire series. But can you rotate refs in and out and have them be traveling? You're on the floor with the players. The media traveling, can we just have like, well, the Philly media covers the Philly game and the Boston media covers the Boston game, and maybe we can teleconference or conference call with, you know, the coaches and players after the games and get our stories that way. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do it and make it happen. And so we can all have basketball to watch on television, but it will definitely not be the same. It won't be the crowds. It would be weird. So it's hard when we think about like trying to visualize what's going on, but like we just don't want to entertain a thought of like basketball being over for now. Let me take a break real quick. We'll come back. We'll continue this discussion.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So it's possible the playoffs could happen. We're wondering what's next. The NBA has imposed this 30-day limit, reportedly, and we're going to see. As of right now, teams can't practice for the next few days. I assume that once they are allowed to practice, then the media will be allowed to go in and we can get a little bit more direct contact conversation with these guys, well, from a safe 68-foot distance. But so we're still kind of up in the air as far as what's going to happen. So today, Rudy Gobert apologized for his role in all of this. He posted an Instagram that said, in part, I would like to publicly apologize to the people that I may have endangered. At the time, I had no idea I was infected. I was careless, and I make no excuse. I hope my story serves as a warning and causes everyone to take this seriously. And Chuck, I saw a piece by Sherrod Blakely on NBC Sports Boston that basically suggested that Rudy Gobert was dumb, but essentially, he didn't put it this way, but I'm putting it this way. His stupidity saved the NBA from even greater stupidity because they didn't know what to do, and they were still trying to figure out, like, playing and all of these different measures that would allow
them.
And basically, him being stupid enough to test positive was what the NBA needed to make the actual right move. And if he didn't test positive, if he wasn't a damn idiot, then the NBA today would still be playing games and still be kind of like hemming and hawing about how to proceed.
And look at the ripple effect too. I mean, it was first the NBA, and then, you know, a lot of the NCAA action followed, the NHL, baseball.
Yep.
So the NBA was kind of first here. So yeah, I mean, I was glad to see him issue that apology. It was just, you know, he was just, his actions were really stupid. And I think you still see a lot of folks who aren't taking this seriously. And I think, we're way past that point. So, but there are guys like Gobert who horse around, and then you read about, you know, Gordon Hayward's comments about, you know, he's got his wife, he's got young kids. And I know kids aren't really at the epicenter of this, but she's pregnant. So there's just, you know, people have families, and there's just so many connections, right? So you can't screw around like that. So you know, I felt like he got his, you know, Gobert got his 24 hours of ire on social media, and it was all justified. And I think him coming forward without apology was right. And I agree with what you said. He really set off, he kind of saved the NBA from itself, and you know, some of the other, you know, sports leagues really just, you know, took a little while for the NCAA to come around. Now, that was somewhat embarrassing that, you know, Duke and Kansas had to really force their hands. It's mind boggling, but that's, just shows how money can really influence decisions.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't, let's say it wasn't the NBA or it wasn't March Madness, which, you know, billions of dollars at stake. If it was just a, hey, we've got this thing, you know, John and Chuck are going to sit there and do a live podcast at the Garden. We're going to fill the Garden. We've got 20,000 people committed to come watch this podcast. People be like, is that a good idea to get all those people right there? Like, would the Garden be like, yeah, cool? Like, would the Celtics, I think there would be like a lot of like, you probably shouldn't be gathering that many people in one place, but take me and you off the court and put 10 basketball players and 3 officials on there. And it's like, okay, that's cool. That's cool. No, you can do that. Like, that's it. So it's wild that someone as careless as Gobert, which I've been killing Gobert for it, and I think rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like he's malicious, but he was stupid. And I'm one of the people that initially was like, oh God, here we go. We're making the big deal out of something like that's basically the flu. And I admit that I thought that at first, and then it comes over and you're like, okay, well, the more you hear about it, the more you see how bad it's getting. Like, okay, I was wrong about that. You know, I was, but never in the amount, in that time did I actively be like, watch me prove my point by licking microphones and like, I still wash my hands and use the hand sanitizer. Like, I'll be safe. I'll follow your guidelines, even though I think they're stupid. And then afterwards you realize like, okay, those weren't stupid. I'm glad I followed them. So even if you think like this is a dumb thing, even if you sit there and be like, ah, oh, they're overreacting, you know, you just kind of have to play along, because if you're wrong, the ripple effect of you being wrong is much, much worse than the ripple effect of you being right and still having followed the guidelines. Like, if you still wash your hands, you like, what's the worst thing here? Wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, don't like hug people and lick their faces. Like, just be careful. Is that too much to ask? And if you sit there and be like, if it ends up not being a big deal for some reason, or somehow it all just goes away tomorrow, and you like, okay, great, you get to have your victory lap. But if it doesn't, and you get infected, or you get somebody at risk infected, it's like, well, you goddamn moron! Like, that's the part that's getting me, because
yeah, I mean, make fun of the toilet paper hoarders. Right.
Yes.
Crack
yes.
jokes on social. Yes. But don't be contaminating folks. I mean, freaking the Jazz, you know, Donovan Mitchell tested positive. Right.
Yes.
So there's the Jazz's two best players have this virus. And I know they're young, healthy, and they're probably going to recover just fine.
Yeah.
But of all the people he infected, it was freaking Mitchell. Yeah. Right. It's just like astonishing to think that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's like, go make some jokes on social, you know, bust people's balls for buying too much toilet paper. But don't be taking actual action that can put people at risk, because that's, you know, that's clearly too far. And you know, I mean, I know he's in his late 20s. I mean, these guys are,
they're going to be fine.
They joke around and shit, but I mean, come on, he should know better.
That's the thing. And you know, I got to commend Jaylen Brown for being out there.
Oh, great.
And being like proactive and understanding the bigger picture. Like, Jaylen Brown has done a really, really good job of like appropriately expressing the seriousness of this. Like, don't panic, don't lose your mind, but take it seriously.
Yeah, like, but don't lick microphones.
Right. Just you can both be like not concerned, but still take it seriously and adhere to some of these simple guidelines. And I just got to say that for Jaylen to be out there and kind of putting that message forward, I'm glad that he's doing this. More of these players should be kind of using this platform. Like, here we are. And like, the message from the player should be, this is what happens when you don't take it seriously. And if you did, then maybe we'd still be playing. Maybe we'd be playing under different circumstances, but you don't, the like I said before, the results are much more serious when you don't take it seriously.
You know, and props to Kevin Love for being the first player to step up and give 100K to, yep, you know, to like the arena workers in Cleveland. I mean, we've heard some talk about it, and Cuban stepped forward and said Dallas would take care of its or its employees or figure out a plan. But props to Love for just, you know, he could have just been an advocate on social, but no, he's writing checks through his foundation, and generally that leads to others following suit. But in this case, it's, you know, I don't want to put the onus on the players either. It's nice for him to throw in six figures, but, you know, these owners need to step up, and this is part of their social responsibility, is to make sure that these folks aren't starving or aren't overwhelmed with bills while they're out of work.
Yeah, I like this idea. Let's group this all into like the impact moving forward and talk about that right after the break. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So Kevin Love steps up with 100 grand. Other players could follow suit. You mentioned the Mavericks and Mark Cuban going to take care of, and I think Dan Gilbert might have said something. I'm not going to be calling out specific teams for doing or not doing. I don't know what's been committed or not. I just will say that it is up to the owners first, and then any players that want to chip in can chip in. But it's super important that these people who are working these games get to continue to work or continue to earn that paycheck. I loved Mark Cuban's idea where, like, we'll take care of these people and we might ask them to just do some volunteer work in exchange. Like, I love the idea of, okay, instead of 8 hours of work, go spend 4 hours at whatever charity and help them out, and we'll give you your money. And this way you're kind of helping people and then helping whoever they're helping. I think that would be a great use of this take opportunity here where it presents itself.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you. So we're seeing it another sort of, this is the big question that's kind of come about from this situation as we all hunker down. Not everyone can work for an industry or an organization or whomever that'll continue to pay you through this or allow you to work from home and still earn your money. And that's sort of the big concern moving forward. And, you know, even folks in the media, you know, the evil media, right? not all of you are, you know, employed full time by, you know, a company. Some of you, it's kind of part of that gig economy. So, you know, what happens to those folks when you don't have, topics to talk about for podcasts, or you don't have things to cover and you don't have articles to write? You know, who's going to be stepping up there? So it's just another layer to all of this that makes you think, man, it's just, you know, we're all in a tough spot. You can be healthy, not get sick, but this can still have a profound impact on your life.
Right. Like, that's like, what do you do when you're healthy and you want to work? And you can't, like, and not to turn this into a political discussion, but like, I've had arguments with people online about this stuff. Like, it's like, oh, well, tough shit. If you're not working, you're not working. You don't get paid. Like, well, I mean, there's certain things that are out of your control. And this is an opportunity here where, like, you have to find a way to help these people, because by helping these people, they continue to stay employed. You keep them out of the unemployment system, which lessens the burden on us, the taxpayers. You have to find a way to keep them employed, because then they could keep health insurance. At a time where there's a pandemic, keeping health insurance, if they get it through these jobs, is super important. And it just the far reaching circumstances here. And also, like, at some point these games are going to be back, and it serves in these owners and teams' best interests to kind of help these people along. Because what if the NBA does reconsider after 2 weeks and says, okay, we're coming back, we're starting tomorrow or in 2 days? Like, if all those people, if I'm working and I'm making ends meet by working nights at the Garden slinging beers, and they say, well, there's no certainty, so I'm going to go get another job somewhere similar, and I quit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, when they do return, it's like, oh, we've got to hire somebody else and train somebody. And, like, you're scrambling. Just pay these people, and when it's time to come back, they can come back. I mean, I'm sure it's not heavy lifting to, you know, how you pull a tap. But you got to understand, like, the system and the rules and the, you know, all the other right. stuff. Like, you know, it's a little right. more than just pulling a tap and saying, here, $12. But it's the all of the people in the ancillary, the businesses, they're really in a tough spot, and I don't know where they go. So it's great that they're being helped.
Yeah, you know, you see people, you know, there was a story today about this person who flew from, I think, Florida to New York City. And at some point they knew they had the virus. And it makes me wonder, is this person just stupid, or are they somewhat desperate? Right. So if you're out of work and you start you know, you're scrounging for money, you start to maybe exhibit reckless behavior where you say, you know what, there might be work here. I need to travel and go there. I'm not feeling well, but I got to do it because I need a freaking paycheck. And the next thing you know, your reckless behavior kind of puts other people at risk. So not that everyone shouldn't be responsible for their own actions, but in a situation like this where the window is relatively short term, I'm not asking for NBA owners to float paychecks for people for 6 months. But right. if it's a 6 week window, that'll really help people get by and possibly keep the rest of us safe and ease the panic. Then I think they do have that social responsibility. You know, I'm not, again, it's not something where it's like, okay, it's 2 years now. Can you still cover me? No, but right. 6 weeks is reasonable. And that's yeah. where I fall.
Yeah, it's like it's the right thing to do. It's, if you treat everything just like so cut and dry, so black and white, like you're not working, you don't get paid, like, okay, but like this is a situation where we're all impacted by this. Every single one of us. And so I'm lucky. My job's not going anywhere as of right now. It's temporary. Everybody knows that. I'll find other things to write about. I've got things in the can that I'm working on. Like, I'll put some stuff out there and we'll just treat it as if it was like in August or September for a little while. I'm lucky. I'm fine. But not everybody's so lucky. And, yeah. you know, if that person's like struggling a little bit, this is where you pick each other up. Like, all right, we're going to get together, we're going to help each other out. Like, you as a billionaire owner, this isn't the drop in the bucket. Like, this is the right thing to do. And when you do the right thing like this, it comes back at you. Like, the people that you help want to work for you when it comes to, like, when you sit there and be like, I'm going to do this. Like, all of the people at the in Dallas working for Cuban, and he sits there and says, we're going to take care of you. When they come in that first game back, what are they going to do? They're going to want to fucking hug Mark Cuban. Like, yeah. that's, you know, like he yeah. becomes like a hero to them, because at a time where it was a critical point in their lives, a critical point where they could lose their livelihoods, he steps up and says, you know what, we're going to help you out. And he doesn't have yeah. to, but he does.
Right. I mean, so what I'm hearing from you is, if folks are in need of toilet paper and they come knocking on your door, you're going to give them your last roll of two-ply, right?
Well,
you're not even going to think twice.
No, but I will Dwight Schrute it and separate the two-ply to one-ply and help
great.
Them out and help them out. I mean,
I would give out paper towels because I have a surplus of those. But you know, we help in different ways, right? We yeah, all help you know, in different ways.
There are ways to help everybody. I would gladly go help them gather some leaves out front. There's a lot of leaves, a lot of trees where I live.
Right.
It's bringing this back to basketball. this does have. I'm kind of fascinated by the ripple effect of all of this, because now we not only have like the salary cap stuff that I talked to.
Yeah.
I talked about. You know, you have like the. This led to the cancellation of March Madness. There's no March Madness this year.
I know. That's like an afterthought to me, and that's blowing my mind.
You know? No yeah. March Madness. So there's no Kemba Walker-type run in March Madness for somebody to be captivated by, to maybe increase a draft stock, or to say, hey, I just saw this dude in March Madness. We had him 10th on our board. We're gonna raise him to 9th or 8th. And we're going to take him. So that changes the course of the draft. Not only are the salary cap, you know, concerns, the taxpayers and all of that stuff, like the draft, the who might get picked, makes the swings and misses more likely. When you can't go, you can't go to these high school showcases. I mean, you really yep. go down deeper and deeper and deeper. This is really going to be like, you know, if you've ever seen the cross section of a tree, you know, you go to one of those Museum of Science things, you see the cross section of a tree, and you're like, oh, this big mark here is where it got struck by lightning one year. Like, that's what this is going to be for the NBA. Like, if you were able to take a cross section of the NBA, this is going to be deep, and it's going to have a long lasting mark on the league. And I think really impact a lot of people, a lot of jobs, in basketball, how the game is played, who plays it, where they play it, all because of this.
No, that's absolutely true. And it sounds, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm like, wow, I'm like, holy shit, you're right on the money. Because most of the NBA players are going to be fine. And then, you know, whether it's the salary cap and it's positioning, you know, you're talking about, you know, somebody losing a few million dollars, but they're still going to be okay. But I'm thinking of, you know, like you say, the college players who are on the bubble, who are angling for jobs, or, you know, even the seniors in other collegiate sports who are losing their spring season. This is their last shot at, you know, their athletic career. And it's just being taken away from them, yep. Man. That's kind of devastating when you think about it, when it's something that's completely out of your control. It's just crushing. Just imagine if that was, you know, my son's travel basketball. We've had such a great season. The playoffs start this coming week and they were just postponed. And I'm like, sad.
Yeah.
It means nothing. He's 10, right? But still, when you magnify that for other folks who are either in their last go around or trying to make a career out of this.
Yep.
Man, that just, it's that just, it hurts. And, absolutely. Know,
I talked about the Kemba-like run, but like, what about the guys in college that aren't going to be the Kembas, who are going to be the ones playing in lower level European leagues, and the scouts that come over, and this is their best opportunity to see those guys in pressure situations. Like, I remember in summer league once, a friend of mine, who coaches overseas, and he came over and he's like, yeah, I'm kind of scouting this level of guys. Who do you like? You know, we only focus on the NBA, the draft lottery.
Yeah.
You know, we only go as deep as the second round. But the guys who don't get drafted, those are the guys that are still kind of sort of good enough, and they end up in Europe and Asia and, you know, places like Turkey or South America and have pretty good careers. Like, this really hurts their opportunity to be showcased as a good team player and be scouted and have that. So we're sitting here talking about the NBA, but like, worldwide basketball is going to be impacted by this as well. And to take it a step even further than that, just the kids that aren't ever going to play basketball again, are like that. Yeah. That's where really, like, emotionally,
right?
Like, I know, like, I'll use myself as an example, because when I was in college, I didn't think I was going to play basketball after my last game my senior year. And, you know, you start to think about it, and if all of a sudden 4 games before that they said, nope, that was it, that last game was your last game, you'd be like, are you shitting me?
Right. You want to be able to bask in those final moments. It was like watching Vince Carter at the end of that game. He was kind of like, holy shit, this, you know, he knows he's wrapping it up, but it just still kind of, you know, hit him that this could be it, considering what was happening. Yeah. They don't have that sort of perspective, like, okay, this is my last week and I'm going into my last couple games, and you don't have your circle coming to watch you because they know it's your last game. It's kind of all just, you know, the rug is pulled out from under you and you're like, oh crap. My last game was, you know, 3 days ago when nobody watched and I scored 6 points. And, you know, if I had known, I would have, you know, maybe done something different. But that sucks.
Try to steal a ball from one of your teammates and lay it in. I need to get to double digits in my last game.
Right. Unreal.
Breaking news, by the way. The Cavaliers have indeed announced that they will pay their arena staff as if all the regular season games happened. So that's coming from a Twitter account called Legion Hoops.
That's great.
So that's a nice, you know, I know Dan Gilbert's a frequent target, and I didn't want to be like, Dan Gilbert should do this. Why is Kevin Love doing it? So Dan Gilbert is doing this. So that's nice. It's a good move. Every team should announce that. And I guess we should just shout out Mark Cuban for, like, once one team does it,
yeah,
like, you can't be the team that doesn't.
You know? Don't want to be the asshole. No, you can't.
like if 29 teams do it, but the Knicks don't, like, I mean, come on. So,
well, it's funny, right? We did hear about the teams who wanted to continue playing, right?
Yes.
Who didn't want to wanted to play before fans. It was like Houston and the Knicks were coming up with some of the holdouts. And you hear that, you're like, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you people? You don't want that black mark on you.
Right. So shout out to that. We haven't heard anything from the Celtics, but, you know, they just got back, and I'm sure there's time for all of this. There's no ticking clock, although the Celtics' first home game is supposed to be on Friday. So hopefully the people who are supposed to work that game get a little bit more clarity soon enough. All right, well, I got to do podcasts next week. I'm going to. I don't know what the schedule is going to be, but there will be news, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more clarity. So this is the Friday podcast. Be back hopefully Sunday night. The plan is to continue doing the podcast as long as I can. And so if you have a suggestion, go ahead and tweet at me, Reds_Army_John, or at the show at LO Celtics. I have some ideas on how to kind of get through the next couple of weeks, but we'll just kind of play it by ear. So subscribe. We'll still do it. And you, if you're working from home, you can just play it at the time you would have listened to in the car. Or, I tell you what, go into the car anyway and sit there for half an hour or so and listen to the podcast. So you can sit there and just kind of relive your... I tell you what, Chuck, this would be great for you. There's nobody on the roads. You should get in your car and just drive to work. Just so you can experience what a nice commute would be like.
It's funny. I was telling my girlfriend that tonight because she was giving me shit for going into the office tomorrow. And I'm like, these are the days I want to commute. One, there's no traffic. Two, the T is empty. Yeah. It's like I got the whole thing to myself. Why would I not want to go into the office?
Right. That's exactly it.
Right.
When I was working in New York and I had to take the trains, which suck, you know, the MTA sucks. But when it was like a long weekend, like a Labor Day or something like that, or whatever, I was excited for that. I get to sleep like an extra 15 minutes, which is huge. I could, you know, get the train shows up when it shows up, it seats, it goes, it doesn't stop. It's not people crowded. Nobody's, you know, doing something gross. Like, it's just pretty awesome. So, yeah. So download the podcast, get in your car and drive to work. And then, if you know, turn around and drive back home. So this way you'll know what a commute home looks like too. Give yourself like little simple pleasures in life. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for all of the 5-star ratings, all of the good written reviews. You've made this show the #1 Celtics podcast out there, and I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing and telling everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.